White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 259.
I'm Brandon Marcello, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
A miracle in turned hair! A miracle in turned hair!
And according to my sources, it's an almost credible sports discussion.
They're not going to keep them off the field tonight!
On the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Let's watch some football. Now everybody. Come on, everybody.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, yo, yo. Let's watch some football.
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone. We're back. We're back. Brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment. In association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Val in Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we've had a month off because there just honestly wasn't a whole lot going on. But we're back because it's time for... What's it time for? What's it?
The Wishbone Awards.
The Wishbone Awards. And now let me play our triumphant theme music for the Wishbone Awards.
Smoke weed every day.
That's it. Actually, when I play that, John sits there thinking,
what the hell is the world coming to?
Yes, I've got the sound effects machine working full blast. I've got it working. I think this has been after our, it's been since we did our last Wishbone. We've done quite a few other podcasts for the White Rocket Entertainment Network. More about that a little bit later on in our break. And it got so bad, I just was having so many technical problems. I ripped all the audio out of this computer. And we are now running something called Voice Meter Banana. Now, as funny as that sounds, it's the greatest thing ever because it's a huge virtual soundboard with virtual audio cables built in that funnels everything into one source. It funnels you on Skype, me on the microphone, and my sound effects board and everything else all into one channel that goes into the board, and it has its own recording software built in, too, that sounds better than anything we've been using on these third-party deals. So I'm very excited that I now am able, without any post-production work, to say...
Please clap.
Very excited. Hopefully it sounds this way in the recording. Hopefully it's recording something. So we have, John, the Wishbone Awards tonight. And this is always one of my favorite shows of the year because we get to kind of look back at last season in a fun-filled way. Some of the happy things, some of the disappointing things, some of the weird things. And we just have a variety of awards that we like to give out. So let me see. I know that for our, we have the fanfare for, what have we used in the past? I'm woefully unprepared.
This is the 37th episode of Wishbone Awards.
I know, and yet.
37th annual.
And yet, I have got, let's see, what does this do? That's all right. Let's try this one. What does this do? Oh, okay. That's not bad. What about this one? No, that's our back. That's our usual theme music. What does this do? Nah, that's not. That's okay. These are all things that our longtime listeners will recognize. Oh, hey, John. Here's a blast from the past. We know the. We have a category for that. Don't let me forget. All right. So I think I'll use. Okay, I've got it. And then, okay. All right, I'm good to go. So do you want to get right on into our awards, and then we'll do maybe a little, after the break, we'll do a little bit of around spring practice and what else is going on in Auburn news?
Sure.
All right. So what's our first category?
We're going to start negative and then get positive, unlike last year or so, which there was a lot of negative in the awards. But we're going to start with disappointment of the year.
All right. Disappointment of the year. And who are our nominees?
The nominees are the quarterback rotation in the Clemson game. John Franklin III.
Just in general.
In general. Losing to Georgia again.
Yeah.
And the failure of the Cox Cat offense.
Which has gone off to... I don't know. I think it is it has the Cox Cat offense gone off to Connecticut, or have we kept it? If you know what I mean.
I think it's gone. I think they took it out back.
One way or another, it's gone. All right. So, disappointment of the year, the quarterback rotation in the Clemson game, John Franklin III losing to George again, and the Cox Cat offense. Now, the way we generally do this is John gives his, I give mine, and we try to find some kind of a consensus if possible. So, our winners are... what have you got?
I got to say losing to Georgia again.
Yeah, losing to Georgia again has got to be the disappointment of the year. I mean, everything else was bad, but that was just god-awful. I mean, before that, I might have said the Texas A&M loss, just because that one really made me mad. I felt like we... should have at least been in that game, and we kind of blew it late. But the Georgia game, I mean, it's not just that we lost it, it's the way we lost it.
We had no business losing that game. You're right, it's the everyone and their mother could see that throwing the ball was a recipe for failure, and yet we kept throwing the ball after that point. And that's when you're like,
And the fact that our offense scored enough points to win the game.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And our defense kept Georgia down enough to win the game. And yet we still didn't win the game. Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. It reminded me of Ronnie Brown on half a leg trying to get a first down over and over against Georgia in 2002 before the X takeoff play or whatever. So when I look at what happened in that game, all I can say is...
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
Exactly. That's what that is. All right. Let's see. The next one up. What's our next category?
Next one up is Surprise Player of the Year.
What we got as our nominees?
The nominees are Tony Stevens, led the team in receiving, kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, true.
Cameron Petway, from backup fullback to one of the leading rushers in the SEC. Marlon Davidson, freshman All-American.
Okay, and who have you got as the winner?
Got to be Petway, to me.
Yeah.
Now, let me give you some credit here.
Okay.
Maybe not surprise player of the year to you, who predicted he would have success, but to me, bit of a shock.
That's right. I forgot about that. I didn't forget about that. I just felt like they needed to give him the ball. I mean, he's a big, powerful back. I mean, you know, why not? But the thing about Petway, though, is that he extended our 1,000-yard rusher streak with – somewhat less than a full season of action. I mean, because he didn't even play in the first game or two or record anything meaningful in terms of carries. And then he couldn't play after Vanderbilt pretty much until the bowl game. But in between, in that glorious period where both Sean and Petway were both healthy, man, we had it cooking.
Mm-hmm.
If we had played Georgia between playing Mississippi State and Arkansas, what would the score have been?
28-10 Auburn, something like that.
I'm going to say 35-3 Auburn. Yeah. Oh man. But that takes nothing away from those others, and especially Marlon Davidson really coming on big as a freshman, as a true freshman. That was really impressive. So, okay. So congratulations to Cameron Petway, and I can't wait to see him play this fall. It's so funny, by the way. It's so weird to see in the spring reports to see him listed as the number one running back and all, because it just seems like, how can that be? I mean, I know, but I mean, it was like so hard to get him out there. I kept thinking they'll demote him back to second behind Johnson or something. But thank goodness he is our first string running back now. All right, what's our next category?
Whatever became of player?
All right, and who are our nominees for whatever became of player of the year?
Jeremy Johnson.
Yeah.
And Tyler Queen. And I could put TJ Neal in that list, but
Yes. That's a good one too, because with the other two, it's like it's funny that we're asking whatever became of them, because we know it's just funny. But with TJ Neal, I honestly have no idea. If you told me that he's going to be a starter at linebacker next year for Auburn, I'd be like, huh. And if you told me he's going to be playing in the NFL next year, I'd be like, huh. And if you told me he's going to be bagging groceries at Schnucks, I'd be like, huh. I have literally no clue what became of him, what the deal was. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and vote for him. I really don't have any clue, and that's the criteria.
that's the category.
Yeah, who are you voting for?
I got to vote for Tyler Queen, because it was times when we needed a quarterback, and he was like,
yeah,
you know, on a milk carton. So
it's true. We had linebackers. It's not like we were desperate for TJ Neal, and he just wasn't showing up. But Tyler Queen's on a milk carton.
It's true.
What the heck? I mean, I know he had arm trouble, but I feel like he's gonna have like a PhD, and we'll be saying, you know, maybe next year he'll get to start. No, he'll get to play. Start. He'll be working on his second PhD. He'll be coming to practice in like a tweed coat with the elbow protectors and a pipe and big horn rim glasses, and they'll be like, Tyler, what are your prospects for seeing the field this year in your ninth season? And he'll take his pipe out of his mouth and go, well, old chum, I'm cautiously optimistic, but now we shall study English literature in the Victorian era. I mean, he's going to have, you know, how much, bless his heart, but I mean, how much free education is he going to get? And he's not doing anything. I mean, how long does it take for him to heal? I haven't even heard him practicing now.
I haven't really either.
I mean, I want to get a full ride athletic scholarship, and then like have an injury and just get like 3 years of free education and say, oh, nope, still hurts. I know that all of his supporters and family will now write me hate mail, but. I don't mean it in a mean way. It's just puzzling, you know? I mean, it's like he's been hurt as long as I've ever heard of him. And I feel like I've heard of him for years.
He has never been healthy at Auburn.
No.
So, for 5 minutes or something.
No. It's so strange. I mean, he's going to end up being there like Brandon Cox.
Yeah, Brandon Cox played a lot of football.
Well, I know later, but think about this. Brandon Cox was, let's see, Brandon Cox was our quarterback at the beginning of calendar year 2008, John. Brandon Cox was our starting quarterback at 12:01 a.m. on January 1st, 2008, and he came in with the 2002 class. Yes. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's a pretty neat trick. Mm-hmm. He was a 2002 recruit. And 2002, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, he was still on the team January 1st, 2008 as our quarterback. That's pretty mind-blowing. He was Mr. 2000s to the Auburn Tigers.
It's a long time.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. He was in the signing class with Ben Obamanu and Devin Aromashadu, and he ended up splitting time at quarterback with Cody Burns. That's like different eras completely.
It is.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, Tyler Queen. And I got T.J. Neal. By the way, do we know about T.J. Neal? What did happen with him?
He was a senior last year, and at one point he got hurt last year and missed the last couple games, I think. So
he just never seemed to click with the defense, though.
I mean, there was a point when he had some other injuries, and he came in, and he played, okay for a while. But, I mean, I think he just, you know, he wasn't a great fit, and I think we had a lot of other really good young linebackers that took all the playing time.
Well, I think Deshaun Davis and some of the others ended up being more athletic in a way of, like, being able to cover receivers and stuff. And T.J. Neal was just like a Big Ten run stopper.
Yep, that's it.
And it just didn't work out in the SEC, so. Oh, well. All right. What's our next category?
The next category the Trevon Reed Award to the hyped stud wide receiver who does very little.
I like this one a lot because Trevon Reed was a player that I was more excited about than Cam Newton in 2010. And you know,
how'd that work out for you?
You know what causes people to think things like that?
Hype. Smoke weed every day.
That too. Either one is fine. All I can do now though is
blame yourself.
That's right. I can't have any choice. Okay, so who are our nominees for the Trevon Reed Award, hype stud wide receiver? Or it could be really any player, but you've got all receivers, I believe, this time, who does very little.
I like keeping it a receiver because the mark, because of the Trevon Reed thing.
Okay.
The nominees are Marcus Davis.
Well.
Okay. Jalen Harris.
He caught a pass for touchdown.
Two catches, two touchdowns.
Yeah, all he does is catch touchdowns, John.
Like Jason Smith.
It's like talk about milk cartons. I'm just like your buddy Ryan. All he does is catch touchdowns.
That's it.
So Marcus Davis, Jalen Harris, and Jason Smith. But Marcus Davis did a little bit. I'm going to have to say Jason Smith because this is a guy that came in, was a really highly rated player. He's still on the team and has a chance to do something this year. And he did have that one carbon copy miracle in Jordan Hare catch against Alabama in 15. But other than that, he's done virtually nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems a lot like Trevon Reed in the process. So I got to go Jason Smith.
Yeah, I think I got to go Jason Smith too. I'm tempted to go Marcus Davis because my expectations were a lot higher for him. He was at least semi-productive.
All right, we're going Jason Smith. Got a little glitch in that track. That's not good. All right, let's see. Next up, what we got next?
The next category is Special Teams Player of the Year.
All right, so Special Teams Player of the Year. Well,
the most competitive category.
I was going to say, you don't even have any kick returners listed because we really didn't have anything special going on at kick return this year, did we? We've had years where kick return was a big weapon, but am I forgetting? I mean, am I blanking out something?
No, the kick returns were really not great this year. And that's one thing I'm hoping about shaking up special teams, maybe changing the coach who's responsible for it, is maybe the kick returns, you know, get back to being really good.
Yeah. It's so weird how those things change. You'll have years where the kicking game is really good, years where the kick return game is really good. It's hard to get everything clicking at the same time for some reason. All right, so who are the nominees for Special Teams Player of the Year?
The nominees are Daniel Carlson and Kevin Phillips.
There you go. There you go. And as much as Kevin Phillips did a fine job, I don't think there's any doubt that our Special Teams Player of the Year was Daniel Carlson. Do you concur?
100%.
Yeah, it's in fact, Rod Bramblett looks at him and says,
"Holy cow! Oh my God!"
Well, not quite that exciting, but yeah, he's I've said it a million times. We always have a good, dependable kicker. I can count the years we haven't had a great kicker on two fingers, going all the way back to the early Pat Dye era. So we've been hashtag blessed when it comes to kickers, John, and I'm very happy about that.
It's true.
All righty, we got a good one coming up next. What's our next category?
Next category is Name of the Year.
And that's in quotation marks, Name of the Year. We don't have any nominees listed on here because you say there's no Shakespeare on the roster. By the way, I just want to point out that Chandler Shakespeare, for whatever else you might want to say about him not being one of the greatest players in Auburn history, he was a senior in 13, and that means he was on the roster, I'm assuming, if he was on there 4 years. If he was on two national champion playing teams. That's pretty cool. Because there were not a lot of seniors on that 2013 class. But he was one of them. So assuming, and I don't know for sure, but assuming he was on the 2010 team as a walk-on or whatever, he was on, because I was looking at this the other day. I was going through the 2013 roster and looking for seniors, and not just seniors, but seniors that had played 4 years. You know, so the the fullback didn't count. And there's not a lot.
Nope.
There's only like six or seven players that were seniors on that 2013 team that had played on the 2010 team. So I want to say maybe Noza Igwe was one. Maybe, I think.
I could see that.
Couple of others, but there were not nearly as many as you might think. It was really amazing. So, because that 2010 team had a lot of juniors that were important, and the 2013 team had a lot of juniors that were important. But neither one of them had huge seniors that, you know, not a lot. Not a whole lot. So I just thought that was interesting. My nominee for Name of the Year is that we have two princes. If I had the Spin Doctors song on here, I still wouldn't play it because I hate it. But at least it would be on here at an option. But we have one, two princes on our football team. And in fact, our second team offensive line, the guards and the center are between two princes. Prince Tega Wanago and Prince Salmons. So that's my Name of the Year nominees. Do you have anybody you want to throw on there? You don't really have anybody that stands out other than... I just think it's pretty cool. So I'm going to go ahead and give my half of the trophy. I'm going to divide it into two quarters and give it to the princes. Yes?
I've changed my mind. Broderius Ham.
Broderius Ham! Yes, and good that he's back. I'm glad he's healthy. Poor kid got to Auburn and then was diagnosed with, was it leukemia?
Mm-hmm.
Man, and another player did too this past year, and they're both back now.
Tayshaun Manning.
Tayshaun Manning, yeah. So I'm glad, thank goodness. All right, so let's see. We've still got about three categories left to go. What's our next category, John, as I adjust the... What's our category?
The Melvin Ray Where Did That Guy Come From Award.
That's right. And the Melvin Ray Where Did That Guy Come From Award... It has the helicopter sound effect, for those that don't know, because John once famously said during the national championship game with Florida State that Melvin Ray was dropped out of a helicopter into the middle of the field to catch that wide open touchdown pass, and it stuck, so we've had that ever since. So who are our nominees for the Melvin Ray Memorial Where Did That Guy Come From Award?
Stanton Truitt.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And where did he go?
True.
Because he's gone. He gone.
Eli Stove.
Yeah.
Steven Roberts. kind of did nothing last year and then was a really big contributor on defense this year.
Yeah.
And Daryl Williams.
Daryl Electron Williams. Electron 2.
Electron 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Please clap.
That's awesome. That's a tough one because, well, let's see. Stanton Truitt was like languishing on the depths of the bench at receiver, correct?
Yes.
And then he comes on and is like an effective running back at a time when we were really rolling up big rushing yards on people. But then he got hurt, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody else there toward the two-thirds mark of the season. But he looked good there for a while. It felt like the old Tuberville days when we would substitute a receiver in for a running back, and you're just like, oh, Lord, everybody have a prayer meeting here. We're putting a receiver in at tailback. Eli Stove ran a few of really good I would argue that Eli Stove had about as effective of a season at doing the sweep as anybody since Ontario McCaleb, and I include Corey Grant in that.
I'd say that's pretty fair.
Corey Grant gets my disappointment. You never quite lived up to what I thought you were going to do award. Stephen Roberts, I don't remember all of his contributions. Talk a little bit about that.
I mean, Stephen Roberts played safety, and let me pull up the tackling numbers here, okay?
Yeah.
Stephen Roberts was fifth on the defensive tackles this year. And he also, let me see here. Broke up two passes, had one quarterback hurry, but he's a guy who, you know, in 2015, you know, played a little bit and had, you know, basically 16 tackles, but didn't do nearly as much, you know, this year, did a lot. He also, spent a few games doing some punt return stuff too. Had two interceptions. Okay. Had 33 tackles.
Wow.
Had 1.5 tackles for loss, 2 passes broken up, and a quarterback hurry. So, I mean, a guy that just, you know, an Opelika guy who got a chance to play and then made an impact.
Yeah, that's cool. And then Daryl Williams, who had a good season at linebacker. That's who I'm thinking about?
Yeah, yes. But also, again, was a guy who, you know, maybe with all the other linebackers we had, he wasn't the one you're like, oh, that guy's going to be fine. But he was sixth on the team in tackles, and he was really good in pass coverage.
Yeah.
Had 3 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hurries, 2 passes broken up, and forced a fumble. So he made a lot of plays when he was out there. And it's I distinctly remember him doing a good job, like covering the other team's back out of the backfield and stuff a lot.
Yeah. I'm not sure about this one. I'm kind of torn. They all seem good, but none of them really jumps out at me. Who are you going with?
I think I got to go with Truitt just because, like, I had no expectations of him coming in at tailback and making plays. And when he was in the game, he was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Okay. The thing about Eli Stove is I felt like one or two of those freshman receivers would do something, so it didn't really surprise me. It surprised me that it was him because he was never the number one guy they talked about. I mean, you know, there's been some argument between, was it Kyle Davis and the one with three names that I can never remember.
Nate Craig Myers.
Nate Craig Myers. I mean, there's kind of debate back and forth over which one of them is the best of that group. But Stove was never really listed as like more than the second or third best, and yet he's the one that got the most touches, I think, by far, right?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'll go ahead and go with Stanton Truitt, though, too. He did have a – during his run, so – Okay, and let's see. We've got 2 awards left to hand out. Oh, 3. I'm sorry. I didn't put a bold on that. Let me see. Let me just all notice it. Okay. So we got 3 left to go.
No, 4.
Oh, that's right. It's the format, when I get them out of your emails, it changes the format up, and I couldn't see it. Okay, so 4 more to go. Good. All right, what's next?
The next is another classic award for us, the Eric Smith Tough Guy Award.
Oh, Eric Smith, the fullback. Fullback on the 2010 team, who was just a great blocker and a great H-back kind of player, just a tough guy. All right, and who are our awards for the Tough Guy Award? Who are our nominees, I mean, for the Tough Guy Award?
Our nominees are Deshaun Davis.
Okay.
Cameron Petway.
Mm.
Carl Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Williams. And Josh Holsey.
Man, those are some serious nominees right there. And, you know, as much as Carl Lawson was finally healthy, he didn't just have, I mean, he had a good year, no doubt about it. And he's going to be a solid NFL player. But he never seemed quite like the A&M guy or the LSU guy. You know, he never just went back and destroyed quarterbacks single-handedly like I was kind of hoping he would do.
Sure.
So, I'm going to have to go Cameron Petway.
I'm going to go Deshaun Davis here.
All right.
Because I just think, like, the toughness that he brought to the middle of that defense made a big difference.
Well, no doubt about it. He did have a – he might have been a surprise player in a way, too. I mean, he
mm-hmm. –
Okay, well, that's cool. All right, this goes out to you guys. Okay, I gotta fix that little glitch in it. Let's see. Next up
is Player of the Year.
Woo! I have a feeling I know where this one's gonna go. But, you know, certain circumstances intervene. So, who are our nominees, John?
The nominees are Cameron Petway, Montravius Adams, and Carl Lawson.
I'm throwing in a write-in candidate, too, even though I may or may not give him my win, but I'm throwing in Sean White.
That's fair.
Because I feel like when he was healthy and in the game, he made a qualitative difference for that team. That was every bit as important as Petway.
It's fair.
And in fact, you might argue that we could have done, when Sean White was healthy, other running backs could have done about as well as Petway, maybe not quite. But without Sean White, we were dead in the water.
No, so that's very fair. It's a Player of the Year versus Most Valuable Player. I mean, we could split the award up that way if you want. And if it was MVP, certainly you'd go Sean White, because without him, the team was lost.
Yeah. Well, for Player of the Year, I think I'm still going to go Cameron Petway. I know he only played 2/3 of the season, really, but he was so dominant when he was healthy and he was in there. And all you have to do to see the difference is watch the second half of the Vanderbilt game.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he was healthy and he was in there, we were going to win that game by easily double digits. And the very second he got hurt, we nearly lost the game.
Yep.
I mean, we've talked about this before on the show. Like, he's breaking free and going for like a 70-yard touchdown run, and the Vanderbilt players aren't within 20 yards of him. And if he scores there, we're up like 13 or something or more. And he goes down like a sniper hit him. This is the helicopter picking you up rather than dropping you off. He goes down, and we have the field goal blocked, and it all starts just unraveling from there. The other interesting thing about that game, by the way, isn't that the game where JF3 started because Sean was banged up?
Oh, yeah. So he came in and had a game in later, too.
We never really talked about this, but the Vanderbilt game is a microcosm of the entire 2016 season, because it shows you – the first half showed you what we were like without Sean, and the fourth quarter showed you what we were like without Petway. When we had both of them, we were unstoppable. But without one or the other, we were a car with three wheels and one in the mud, you know?
Yep.
It's that Vanderbilt. If somebody someday asked you, describe the 2016 season, just put that Vanderbilt game on.
Or not.
Well, but you don't. I mean, just if you want to see that, it covers everything. It absolutely covers everything. Because parts of it were like the Arkansas game in a way, and parts of it were like the Georgia game in a way. In the same game. Okay, that was Player of the Year. Two awards left on the shelf. What's our next? What is the penultimate award?
Of the Year.
Are we going to do that one first? Okay.
We do that one first. You want to do Play of the Year?
Let's do Game of the Year first, then we'll do Play of the Year.
Okay. Game of the Year, and the nominees are the Arkansas game, the Mississippi State game, the LSU game, and the Ole Miss game.
Well, I think that the LSU game ended up being the most important game of the year, and we'll talk more about that coming up. But in terms of just playing our best game of the year and just thinking and making you think 2013 had come back, that's got to be the Arkansas game.
I agree. That was the peak. That was the, you know, and it was Arkansas and Burt, and we just put the foot down on them and crushed them.
Yeah, that was the complete game. They couldn't. It was like the Missouri SEC championship game, except with the other team having less offense.
Mm-hmm.
They had no.
Missouri moved the ball a little bit.
Exactly. That was a close game for most of the game, but we still scored at will on Missouri whenever we wanted to, and we scored at will on Arkansas, and they couldn't do anything on us. Arkansas looked like they didn't know what sport they were playing. They got off. They looked like they all got off the bus having just drunk a bottle of NyQuil or something. They were at sea. They were at sea and had no idea what day it was, much less there was a football game going on, a tackle football game. So, yeah, I got to go Arkansas just because we put it all together. It was like the LSU game in 2014, 15, 14. Yeah, 14 is when we beat snot out of LSU. Yeah, so it's like once a year there's this one game where we just beat the living snot out of one of our semi-rivals. And almost inexplicably, and this year it was Arkansas.
All right, and finally...
Is that the one you're going with?
Oh, yeah. No, Arkansas, definitely.
Okay.
And finally, Play of the Year.
Play of the Year. There wasn't a prayer at Jordan-Hare or a kick six.
No, I mean, a much weaker category than some other seasons when we had those kind of plays to sift through. The first play that came to mind for me was Kerryon Johnson's reverse run versus Arkansas State, where he reverse field. Yeah. They had like, you know, he was on the right hand side of the field and had about three guys in front of him in reverse field, went all the way around the left hand side, ended up scoring, I think, about 60 yards. It was a great, great run. Other than that, I mean, there was a couple of the Petway runs in the Ole Miss game and in the Arkansas game where he, you know, had long runs and ran over people. But there's not one in particular you look to me that you point to and go, well, that was the one that was so much better than the other ones. There's about 10 of them in there.
Right.
Well,
I had a couple I want to throw out. The Kerryon Johnson play, for its artistry and improvisation and just its aesthetic beauty, but the last play of the LSU game, just in the terms of its consequence, because if that last play had stood as a touchdown, think how different things might have worked out for us and for LSU. It's like the whole season hung in the balance on that one play. The last time Auburn had a last end of the game play with that much consequence that, well, other than the Iron Bowl, I guess, other than 2013, would be like that 2002 X takeoff game I was talking about, where it impacts two teams' futures, right? In other words, this impacted Auburn and LSU, just like that one switched out Auburn and Georgia in the SEC championship game. So, I mean, one is for its aesthetic nature, and the other is just for its consequence. And I've got one more, and it wasn't even us. I want to put play of the year. I want to nominate that Vanderbilt guy that jumped over our center without touching him and blocked the kick, because that was that kid from Birmingham, right, that went to Vanderbilt and just has been amazing?
Yeah, the linebacker for Vanderbilt is going to get drafted and be gone, thankfully. But I can't vote for a guy on their team.
It's an honorary nomination. Honorary nomination because it was such an amazing thing, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding. So.
Zach Cunningham is
it? Yeah, that's him. All right, so you going with carry on, LSU defensive play, or something else?
I'm going with the carry on play because that's the one I want to watch again. That's the one I put on YouTube right now and watch again.
Just in terms of fun, got to go with Carry On My Wayward Son. Possibly the only time that Kansas and Beethoven have been played in the same sound clip. That's pretty cool.
And, I mean, you could vote for some of his runs in the second half of the LSU game where he put his head down and ran over some people and picked up some first downs and stuff, but they weren't nearly as aesthetically pleasing as this other play. So
right. Let me see. We need to take our toward the we've completed the Wishbone Awards for another year. I think those were good, solid. I mean, like you said, it wasn't the greatest year of things to list, but it wasn't last year, 2015 either. So you know, it could have been. It could have been worse. We're going to take a 30-second break here because I want to try out this new clip thing. So we'll see you in just a second. Let's see if this works.
10, 9, 8.
The White Rocket Podcast, hosted by Van Allen Plexico, covering the entire universe of popular culture, movies, TV, books, comics, music, and more, with interviews, convention panels, discussions about current and classical works, and much more. The White Rocket Podcast. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture.
Oh, very nice, Van. Thank you. Did that come across, John? Could you hear that?
I did.
Okay, I just thought I'd try running the actual ad rather than just talking about it. A couple of other things really quick in our mid to late show break here. We John and I have been hard at work. Jared Albrecht has been too. We've done quite a few shows over the last month since the last Wishbone show. So if you like other stuff besides Auburn football, of course, make sure you subscribe to the White Rocket Entertainment feed on iTunes, because not only do you get the White Rocket podcast where John and I and other guests talk about all kinds of various stuff like Game of Thrones and movies and TV. John and I are getting ready to do a Michael Connelly episode where we talk about Bosch and the Lincoln Lawyer and those books and TV shows and movie. That'll be a lot of fun coming up. John, you and I have also recently done the Fellowship of the Ring, and we're going to be doing the Two Towers fairly soon, I guess, and continue our Lord of the Rings coverage where we also play Lord of the Rings trivia, which was a lot of fun with each other. That was cool. And also, we are doing the On Her Majesty's Secret podcast, where we're covering the James Bond films and a new show that goes out on that same feed. And on our first episode last week, we're doing the World Cup of James Bond movies. So we got 24 Bond movies, all 24 of the official ones, and we're basically having a big competition where we debate which ones are the best and the worst and why we like them and don't like them, and then we're gonna fight down to the last winner of the best James Bond movie coming up over the few episodes. Also, a couple other things. I just got to point out that if you appreciate this show, you know, we haven't put out any books in the last couple of years. For a while there, the book sales were really kind of helping keep us in business, paying for everything. But obviously, we haven't put out any new books in a while, so the book sales have kind of fallen off. So if you want to show your support and help us stay on the air and continue the AU Wishbone in the future, because we don't make any money doing this from the network or anything like that. We actually have to pay to produce this show, you know, through hosting and podcast feeds and all that. So if you want to help to keep the AU Wishbone on the air, go to patreon.com and just look for Van Allen Plexico, and that's basically the White Rocket account. If you go to P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com, and look for me, then you can sponsor the show for as little as $1 a month. As little as $1 a month, you get to know that you are part of the White Rocket team, you're keeping us on the air, and you also get special sneak previews and like an occasional email newsletter I'm going to be working on and different things like that. So for as little as $1 a month, you can give more if you'd like. So, and be a patron of our shows and the entire White Rocket Entertainment family. Okay. Let's see. Last couple of things, John. We've got spring practice coming up. Or, I mean, it's underway now. It started, I guess, on Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some interesting developments already. What kind of stuff have you seen and taken note of?
Well, I mean, the introductory press conference of spring practice is always a huge news dump where we learned 50 things that we didn't know we should have known already.
Yeah.
And so we learned things like Cameron Toney was transferring, and there was another backup offensive lineman that was transferring away as graduate seniors. And that a couple of players were hurt or were going to miss spring practice. You know, we learned that some, at least one or two players have been kicked off the team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some guys are missing practice. Some guys, Kyle Davis, Jamal Dean, a few guys like that are sitting out. And some players shifted positions. They moved, you know.
Cowart
to defensive tackle. That was a big thing.
Yeah.
And they moved Trey Threat, I'm not sure how you say his last name, to Buck, where he's competing with Paul James III and Jeff Holland for playing time, but that, you know, replacing the Carl Lawson rush end position. And that maybe, well, and, you know, then there's some discussion of, as practice has gone along, Woody Barrett is playing the number two quarterback. Or Sean White's still hurt. He's still got a cast on his arm, and he's, you know, he's not going to be back for spring practice. So Stidham is the number one quarterback, and he's the one everybody's watching all the time. But Woody Barrett's been the number two quarterback, kind of from the get-go.
I just want him to succeed because he has such potential. And I you know, we know that Stidham will be great, hopefully. I mean, you can't. Obviously, we thought the same thing about Jeremy Johnson, and I know it's not a straight-up comparison, and we talked about that on Twitter. But all that aside, you want players to play up to their potential. You don't want to be disappointed. You don't want them to be disappointed. You don't want to be disappointed in them. And I look at Woody Barrett, and I see somebody that it's not, he's not Cam Newton, but he could be a very good dual-threat quarterback for us, and if he plays up to his potential, and that's what I'd like to see. That's why I get excited about him. If you're wondering why I kind of obsess over him, it's because I can see the potential he has, and I want him to live up to it and make us all excited about his play.
Well, and as a consequence of that, it looks like JF3 is starting to spend some of his practice time at receiver, you know, some at quarterback and some at receiver. So I see him probably moving into a guy that, you know, runs the ball and sweeps and that kind of stuff more than playing quarterback down the road.
You got to get him on the field, right? I mean, he has so much speed and elusiveness that you got to find ways to get him the ball. It just seems – putting him on the bench just seems like a waste of material.
Yeah.
If he can hold on to the ball.
That's right. And so, I mean, that's a big thing. And then, you know, a little bit of shifting around at offensive line. Braden Smith has moved to right tackle for spring practice. And that really is to get the feeling is that, like, Mike Horton is the best offensive lineman we have but that didn't play last year. So that allows him to play at guard. Markell Harrell plays at the other guard. Golson stays at center. So I think that –
Who's the other tackle?
Has a lot of potential. Darius James is back.
Okay.
At the other tackle, and then so the two princes are the backups at tackles at this point.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, that may be they're trying to get the best five guys on the field, and I think that may be the way to go.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of guys that are, you know, banged up or missing practice for other reasons. You know, Kyle Davis is not practicing. He's listed as personal.
Yeah, that's
so you know
odd.
About that. But Darius Slayton's hurt. You know,
Steven Davis Jr. is off the team again.
And he's gone. And KJ Britt, you know, was an early signee, but he's hurt and not practicing.
Right.
And Jamal Dean, who missed all of, you know, last year with an injury and then was thought to be able to come back and compete for a starting job, he's hurt. So, and then we, you know, one of the guys we kicked off the team was a safety. So depth at safety is a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, and interestingly, I was seeing that they have Marlon Character now, and yet he's not playing safety. He's playing corner more.
Mm-hmm. So that's what he wants to try, and I think they think he has some ability in that. He's running second team right now, so you give him a shot. I mean, I think we have a lot of safeties that we signed that are coming in this fall. So I think they feel like some of those guys could be the backups, Carlito Gonzalez and some of those other guys. So I think they feel like they could be the second team safeties, you know, walking in the door. So, you know, that and we have Steven Roberts, Nick Ruffin, and Trey Matthews. So really we got kind of three guys for two spots. So we'll see. We're going to need somebody else to play there at some point this year. But all those guys are seniors I just mentioned, so they'll all be gone a year from now, and it'll be a completely new depth at that position. So we need some of these young guys to get some playing time before that happens.
Yeah, I was also happy to see our depth at running back, you know, quarterback and running back. The interesting thing, the thing that's so funny about quarterback is because Sean White is hurt and is not able to practice, and because JF3 is not running second team and is doing other stuff too, and because Jeremy Johnson is gone, it's been very interesting to me to see that, you know, we ended last season with an injured Sean White, JF3, and Jeremy Johnson as our main three quarterbacks, and we start this year with Jarrett Stidham and Woody Barrett as our top mm-hmm. two quarterbacks. So quite a new look in the backfield there. And then at running back, we've kind of got duos, like three tiers of duos, right? Because on the top, you've got
Petway and Kerryon.
Kerryon and Petway. I was trying to think of Cameron, and I wasn't. For some reason, my brain was misfiring. Yeah, we got Cameron Petway and Kerryon Johnson. Then on the second tier, you've got Cam Martin and Malik Miller. Yep. And then on the third tier, I guess you've got the freshmen, right?
Yeah. I don't know if they're in spring practice. Are they?
Well, I guess you will in this fall, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we will this fall. But the two signees for running back, I don't think they're on the squad yet. But you're right, they will be the two guys beyond that this fall. So
we got four right now, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then really weird that we don't have all of our receivers. That's I don't know what's going on with that one, especially with Davis, because we were kind of counting on him to be – him and Slayton both were being counted on to be big contributors as receivers, and I hope everything gets ironed out soon there.
It's true.
And I've got an update on your favorite player that is still not yet actually an Auburn player, John.
And who is that?
Joey Gatewood. You love him. You can't get enough Joey Gatewood updates, I know, and I'm here for you. You know, there was some question, because he was so close to Rhett, but I don't think there was ever any danger he was going to just recommit to Connecticut. And so, couple of things about...
It's a long way away.
It's a long way away.
Connecticut.
He could. Who couldn't? Who couldn't fall in love with Connecticut? You know, I mean, it's got ESPN and that's about it. But two things about Joey Gatewood. One is... that he, you know, he has now met with, he was down for junior day and he met with Chip Lindsey. They seem to get along real well. He seems to like what Chip is selling in terms of an offensive attack and strategy. So that sounds really good. It seems like they're pretty well on the same page, and he is still reaffirming that Auburn is his number one and he loves it and all that. The other interesting thing about Joey Gatewood, though, is that our companion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network, and I want to get your thoughts on this, the guy that breaks down film, I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
He says Gatewood is not an SEC quarterback and we'd be better off playing tight end. What do you think about that, if anything?
I mean, the guy's a junior in high school. He's going into his senior year, and I think, you know, he went to the one of those big regional prospect camps, you know, not too long ago, and I think he did, from what I read, he did pretty well. So I'm not losing a lot of I'm not losing a lot of sleep about anybody who's a signee for a year from now. And he's a high profile prospect and he's got a lot of ability. So clearly he could probably play another position, but the reason Auburn's liked him is because he has the size and the arm and the running ability to make plays at quarterback in this offense. So,
you know who he reminds me of, John?
Who?
You remember a player named Cam Newton, John?
Oh my gosh.
You remember that player, John? played for Auburn 1 year, went on and played in the NFL a little bit. That's who you remind me of, John. Oh, let's see. Any other spring practice notes?
No. The big question is Stidham and everything is that he looks like he's going to be the man.
Yeah.
So
looking forward to it.
Running with the first team, it seems to be doing pretty well. So haven't heard a lot about the offense, differences other than the fact that, Chip Lindsey's out there running it and Gus is not in the middle of it.
Well, I've heard that they're throwing to the running backs more. It looks to me like his offense is based more, it really is more of a spread than what Gus does. Mm-hmm. People called Gus's offense a spread. I never really understood that because there wasn't a lot of spread to it. Gus's offense was basically power running game and wheel routes, a lot of it, which is good. But Lindsey seems to be much more about let everything spread out and then dump the ball off somewhere. And so
get the ball to the playmakers in space.
Yeah. Out in the flat maybe, or in short passes and things like that. So I'm expecting a little more. And dear Lord, please, a little more pace. Mm-hmm. We're like the fastest team in first gear. That's kind of been our thing. We're supposed to be all fast. Yeah, we're like the, do you remember that ad, John? Do you remember that ad where they're like got the old couple in the ancient car and they're going down the road so slow you hear the wheel creaking as it's turning and the lady's like, "You're driving like a bat out of hell." That's how I felt like Gus has been the last couple of years. We're going like so slow you can hear the wheels creaking, and Gus is like, "Slow it down, for God's sake, we're gonna crash." So I want some pace. The hoops team, the season's over. We ended up with 18-19 wins, a winning season. Not quite what we wanted. We ended up 11th place out of 14 teams, but it was such a young team. They just couldn't finish. They'd be doing so well in the first half, and they just absolutely would break my heart every time. Just about the Ole Miss game, particularly.
I haven't bothered to look, but our scoring defense in the second half has got to be worst in the country because every game 60 points, 65 points. Oh, it seems like the second half.
Absolutely. And losing that Georgia game just really ticked me off because we should have beaten that Georgia team. We had them the whole freaking game. And we even had the ball with 8 seconds to go, and we got one long 3-point shot off and missed, and that was the game. And that just really made me mad. But anyway, they're going to the SEC tournament, and they get to play Missouri again, two games in a row. And
who fired their coach?
Did they? So they'll have an interim coach?
No, he's going to coach, but he's done it.
A dead man walking.
Yeah. Okay. Dead man walking.
All right. Well, that's interesting. So hopefully we can. Hopefully they don't try to win one for the Gipper on the way out the door. So hopefully we'll get that win, and that'll get us to 19 maybe, and get us to the second day of the tournament where I'm sure we'll run into a buzzsaw. But that's at least
I think if we win, we play Ole Miss.
Yeah, well, there we go again. All right, we have a chance to beat them. Women's softball continue to dominate. I haven't really been watching much so far, but man, it was cool to see them out there kicking butt in that opening tournament too. Do we have any listener mail?
There was a question about how we think the basketball team is going to do. I think if they beat Ole Miss, I think they can get into the
NIT.
Yep. And
I would be hard pressed. The NIT. Brandon has been pointing this out. The NIT is not what it used to be. The NIT used to be like everybody else. If you had a pulse and you weren't in the NCAA tournament, you could get the NIT. And it's not like that anymore. It's a lot harder. They don't take nearly as many teams, and it's a lot harder to get in. And they have a lot of automatic qualifiers too, which takes away more spots. So you get like conference winners that didn't win their tournament of those like little mini conferences. So you're going to get teams like Creighton, you know, in there instead of us. You know what I mean? You'll get like a Missouri Valley team that finished second rather than SEC team that finished, you know, ninth or something. But it would be cool to get into the – because the record that we have now, if we beat Missouri and then lost to Ole Miss and we're like 19-11, that would have gotten us into the NIT a few years ago.
You're right. We do have a few questions. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, first question comes from Pat Ringer.
Ah, Pat.
Who says – can we make some noise in the SEC tournament in basketball? And on the football side, can we find a replacement for Lawson?
Well, I think they're looking like they're going by committee on Lawson. Doesn't it seem like that to you?
Yeah, but they got to find a guy. I mean, you got to find somebody who on 3rd and 10 can get to the other team's quarterback. And who's that going
to
be?
Well, right now it seems to be Holland.
Yeah, I mean, and he's fast and he rushes up the field, but sometimes he's you know, out of control, goes too fast, zooms by another lane. He clearly has the speed and the athletic ability to do it, but, you know, at the point of attack, can he do it? And we didn't get to see Paul James III last year. He got hurt. He may end up being the guy, so.
Yeah.
Next question comes from Keith Dale Spawn, who says, this is a question you wanted me to add to the agenda a while ago, and he said, rank these teams in terms of which one would win head-to-head. So here's his rankings. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Or here's the teams you're comparing.
Okay.
These are all Auburn teams.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this will be good. Let's do this real quick.
2004, 1957, 1983, 2010, 2013.
Well, I got to take 1957 out because it's almost a different sport. I didn't see them. I know they had a great defense. They won a lot of games like 10-0 or, you know, 13-3 or whatever. But to me, that's not even on the same planet. So I just can't fairly judge. But I saw all the others play live.
Yep.
And the 83 team had a great defense and Bo and Lionel. That's pretty much it.
Yep.
That's all you needed, but that was pretty much it. The 04 team had great balance. They didn't have one player that was just all world like 2010 had two of them. In other words, I would say this. There was nobody on the 2004 team as good at their position as Cam and Nick Fairley were. But the 04 team just had nines and 9.5s all over the board.
They had far fewer weaknesses.
Right. They weren't going to give up 80-yard touchdown passes every other drive like the 2010 team did, except that they actually did a couple of times at the end of the season. But other than that,
2013?
Yeah, 13. I mean, by the end of the season, they were just so hard-nosed on offense. I don't think anybody could have stopped them on offense when they got it rolling. They could pass when they needed to, but between Trey, Mr. Inside, and Nick, Mr. Outside – dang, so honestly, it's hard to, you know, you got a team with Bo Jackson going up against a team with Cadillac, Ronnie Brown, and Jason Campbell and that defense, going up against a team with Cam Newton and Nick Fairley, going up against a team with Trey Mason and Nick Marshall, and a very young
D Ford's on that team.
Yeah, D Ford and who we just were talking about.
Carl Lawson.
Carl Lawson, yeah. Man. Oh. Who do you think is the number one on that out of those four?
I mean, for me, it comes down to 2004 versus 2010. And I got to pick 2004. I mean, 2010 won the title, and so it's easy to say 2010. But I just think 2004 was a better team. Like, they – you know,
well, four didn't get to play for it. TN was very lucky that things worked out the way they did.
Like, you know, in terms of like the top like 50 players, like one, it, like you said, 2010 was better at like the best two players.
Yeah.
Like versus the best two players, 2004. But like once you go from like number 3 to number 40, I mean, 2004 was better.
Yeah, that's true.
In 90% of those positions. That's so true. That's why I picked 2004.
The 2004 defense was vastly better than 2002.
They had a lot of great players in that defense. Carlos Rogers and
Travis Williams, linebackers. Yeah. Defensive line was good. Everything about the 2004 defense was solid. And they had great running backs. They had great receivers. Yeah, it really was a balanced, perfectly balanced, all cylinders team. It's amazing that you could have a team as good as 2004 and with one change of coach, have them be the 2003 team that couldn't score until the touchdown until the third game.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
So, yeah, I'm going to rate them this way. I honestly think, I just don't think even the 2004 defense could have stopped Cam.
That's fair.
I that would have been a heck of a game. 2004 versus 2010 would be a game. But the 13 team, I mean, they had a way of, I don't know. I'm going to think about it and come back. I can't do it right now. I can't do it. I just can't. I throw my hands up.
We're coming back to this question.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is from Wynn Carroll, who says, he'd like to hear your SEC to Premier League comparison. We need to, can you run it off the top of your head, or do we need to come back to this one?
Team by team?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, let me make a note to do that, and I'll on a future episode, we'll do the... and we'll do that. I'll put it all together, and I'll do it. Okay. Good question, and I'll take it under full consideration and answer it on the next episode.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, that was a pretty solid episode. It ran. We got more stuff covered than I thought we would. That's good. So, all right, you guys waited almost a month, if not a whole month, but we're back, and we'll probably be back in a couple of weeks with let's see. What was the other thing we got to do? I knew we had two topics coming up we need to cover. Are we doing the basketball? We need to do a basketball show at some point. We've been saying that for 3 years.
It's true.
At some point, we can do a big segment on it maybe and just talk about the
teams. By that point, they should be approaching the Final Four. So.
I hope so. That would be great. Even Georgetown was down this year. My two basketball teams, man. What's up? They just Auburn was better than Georgetown this year. They were pitiful.
It's true.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for another week. Any last thoughts?
Nope. It's nice to get back and talk about football again.
That's right. We talked about other stuff, but it's good. You got to get that Auburn talk in there every now and then. So, all right. Well, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle. So what becomes of you, my love? When they have finally stripped you off the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Okay, dope. All right, very good. All right, take it easy, man.
Hang in there.
Go to bed.
Go to bed.